May it please the court, James Crispin for appellant Andrew Dickman. The question this case presents for the court is whether parties to a workers' compensation award for future benefits can settle their case by agreeing to a lump sum in lieu of payment of periodic future payments. There's no respondent to argue this case this morning because the respondent has adopted the appellant's position in this case. In other words, both parties to this case want the relief that we're seeking. And in fact, of all of the counsel that I've talked to that represent the work comp bar, both for claimants and for employers, everybody wants to be able to settle their cases. Now, one might think that it's easy to argue when there's nobody on the other side to argue against, but what I'm finding is that it's actually just the opposite, because I can't field arguments from the other side that I can respond to. Let me give you a brief synopsis of the facts in this case. Drew Dickman was injured in St. Louis County in 2010. By 2013, December of that year, we actually had a hearing, tried that case to an administrative law judge of the Division of Workers' Compensation. And by the spring of 2014, he was given an award of permanent total disability benefits for his lifetime, weekly benefits for his lifetime. That case was not appealed to the commission. It didn't go to the Court of Appeals. It became final. And I use quotes around the word final because, as we'll find out, workers' compensation claim benefits for future payments are never actually truly final. After a couple of years of getting weekly benefits, the employer and the employee, respondent and appellant in this case, entered into an agreement to lump that future payment award to a lump sum of $400,000. And they entered into this stipulation agreement, which specifically tracked Section 287.390.1 Missouri statutes and sets forth that the employee understood his rights under the law, that the settlement was not the result of any undue influence or fraud, and that the employee voluntarily agreed to accept the settlement. It also specifically referenced the Western District Court of Appeals holdings in Nance versus Maxon Electric, what we call Nance 1, and also Hinkle versus AB Dick Company. Both of those Western District opinions had the same issue come up, and they reversed Labor and Industrial Relations Commission decisions to not approve lump sum settlements. In doing so, they reversed the commission, and in the face of that, however, when we presented the agreement in this case to the LIRC, they denied the request essentially for the same reasons that they did so in the Hinkle case in the Western District. It was the commission's decision that they did not have authority to approve the settlement because there was no dispute under and analyzing Section 287.390. They say there was no dispute as required by the Nance 1 decision under subsections 287.241, which talk about structured settlements, 287.470, which talk about a change in condition, or 287.530, which talk about commutation requests. But the fact is, Section 287.390 doesn't restrict approval of disputes to those under subsections 241, 470, or 530. And the court in Hinkle, in the Western District, specifically found that the commission should review settlements of commutation of future payments under Section 287.390, as it interpreted its prior holding in Nance 1.
But the parties here are no longer, according to 287.390, there are no longer any parties to the claim because the employee prevailed on his claim and his award was made final. Isn't that correct?
As I say in the brief, the award's never truly final, Judge, because it can always be subject to review for a change in circumstances or that the employee's been restored to their former work. In fact, it says the commission shall keep the file open for the employee's lifetime.
So you think the claim is still pending?
In that sense, yes. But here's the other thing. As pointed out in the brief, the Eastern District said they hung on that word claim. And they said it's restricted to just parties to claims. Now, the Western District in Nance said, no, that claim doesn't mean just a claim for compensation. It's broader than that. But even under the Eastern District's interpretation of what a claim is, this fits within that definition because it's always subject to review. It's never truly final. More importantly, the statute doesn't say just claims. It says disputes or claims. And if it meant just claims, the word dispute wouldn't be in there because under the rules of statutory construction, you don't add words if you don't need them. So if this isn't a claim, it's certainly still a dispute, which that word is right in the language of Section 390. That brings it within the settlement provisions of the workers' compensation law. And this is what the holdings in the Western District cases of Nance 1 and Hinkle both found.
So when would 530 ever be used then?
Well, 530 is used when there is not an agreement to commute. So if Drew Dickman said, you know what, I think I've got a change, whatever the parameters of 530 are, if there's extraordinary circumstances, I'm getting ready to leave the country or one of the other reasons, I want to commute this to a present value lump sum award, and Costco said, no, we're not going to pay you that. We just want to pay you the weekly benefits. He can go to the commission under 530, a contested commutation request.
530.1 says, upon application of either party with due notice to the other side, and then it's up to the commission to decide if it's in the best interest of the employee or dependents.
Exactly.
And 390 says, voluntary agreement of both parties.
I think that's my point. So 530 applies, and then this was the holding in, I think, Nance 1. 530 applies to commutation requests where there's no agreement. We're going to duke it out. What is the present value? What are the circumstances? But 390 applies when there is an agreement, when the parties reach an agreement. The statute says it shall be approved so long as it's there's no undue influence or fraud, the employee understands his rights, and the employee voluntarily accepts the agreement. So, basically, as set forth in the brief, these are our arguments.
What would the commission argue if it were here?
Well, the commission would say that it wasn't bound by the Western District because it hadn't heard from the other districts, and so now we have this split.
We have one court of appeals with three districts, though. It's not what any court says is not valid only in that district.
I actually agree, Judge, and that was my argument to the commission, but there was existing case law on all fours for this case that they didn't follow. So we got to the Eastern District, and here we are. But they would say that they don't have the authority under 390 because this is a final award, and they interpreted Nance to require a dispute when they looked at that word to be one of those three subsections, which is 241, 470, or 530, but yet 390 doesn't say it has to be a dispute arising under one of those three subsections.
And you're saying it can't be that they're saying that they have no authority once the compensation is awarded because there's all these sections that allow them to later ratification.
Exactly. So they can always go back, and sometimes, again, in contested situations, they can always go back and review, change, amend, terminate the payments to be made. 390 doesn't say the dispute has to be under one of these three sections, and the commission said their interpretation of Nance 1 is that it has to be one of those three. It's just not in the statute. And so the question really is, and as I say in the brief, we could have settled this case for $400,000 on the day of hearing, approve it. After hearing, pending review at the LIRC, still an open, approve it. After the LIRC, up on appeal, as long as it's still not final, we still could have the same exact money, and it would have had to have been approved. But the position that we're up here fighting against is that since it's now final, they say final, we lost our authority to approve it. And we just don't think that that's really what the statute or the legislature intended. And I can tell you, that's not what parties that argue, that handle these cases on both sides of the fence want either. They want to be able to settle their cases. Thank you.
Case will be submitted.